Good morning, everyone. Welcome. It's FBC Radio Live. It's Monday, December the 5th, 2022, and we are coming off the heels of a pretty wild Sunday for many reasons, John. And, you know, we're obviously getting started a little bit late today, but don't fret, we're going to try to react to everything we saw yesterday in the nice condensed 30-minute portion of the show. But, yeah, a lot of storylines, a lot of things coming through the last couple days. Obviously, one of the biggest stories coming out of this is Jimmy Garoppolo done for the season. He broke his foot. The Bengals upset. Well, I don't even want to call it an upset, but they beat the Chiefs last night. And apparently Dallas scored like 30-something points in the fourth quarter. I don't know. I went to bed. So, John, pretty entertaining Sunday, to say the least.
Yeah, it sure was. I mean, I think Luka Doncic appeared for the Dallas Cowboys. I don't ever recall an NFL team scoring 33 points in a quarter, let alone the fourth quarter.
Well, I do recall the Patriots scoring 35 in the second quarter against the Titans.
That's right.
Back in the day.
Yeah, in the snow.
In the snow. But that, again, you're going to be hard-pressed to find probably another example of that. I thought I was seeing things when I saw the box score, because I was kind of tired at the end of the day, and I was like, all right, well, Dallas is up. Indy's kept this game a lot closer than I thought it was going to be, but, you know, Dallas is probably going to, you know, hold them off, and then next thing I know, it's, what, 55-19 or whatever it is. But
crazy.
Yeah, and look, I mean, that's not even the wildest thing that happened yesterday. Obviously, we saw the exact same score from the AFC Championship game. In the rematch playout, Bengals beating the Chiefs 27-24. And look, John, I mean, this played out exactly how people anticipated it. I think people have, folks have blinders on when it comes to the Chiefs. And we've talked about their struggles throughout this season, and, like, you know, how they tend to go dormant or go quiet on offense. Well, they struggled again on offense. And this isn't, you know, again, this isn't a guy, I'm talking about Patrick Mahomes, who, like some people claim, is this, you know, six tiers above everyone else. He's really not. And what I saw last night was Joe Burrow was the far better quarterback. Decision-making, just a sense in the pocket. Like, again, I think, you know, Patrick Mahomes has all the talent in the world. Don't get me wrong. But I think when it comes down to being a quarterback, I think Joe Burrow is better. I think he's smarter. I think he's better in the pocket. And, again, that leads to more success, in my opinion, as opposed to, you know, again, running around and trying to catch the defense off guard. Because the longer we go, the more these teams are starting to figure it out. And I know I about fell out of my chair yesterday, John, when Tony Romo referred to the Chiefs as a dynasty. I mean, that's insult. That's like, how do you even come to that conclusion other than, you know, you're just pandering to Chiefs fans right now? This team has, and maybe we might look at it in hindsight, but, like, you can't even make a real argument other than the last, okay. So they've gone to four straight AFC Championship games. They've lost to Tom Brady and the Patriots back in 2018. They've lost twice now. Or they've lost three times to what's becoming one of their chief rivalries. And I didn't mean to use chief, you know what I mean? No pun intended there. But one of their main rivalries now are the Bengals, and they're 0-3 against them. And, yeah, you know, they came up on top of Buffalo last year in the playoffs. But do you really think Buffalo is you know, looking at the Chiefs as like this team that they just can't overcome?
No, I mean, they were 13 seconds away from beating them in the divisional round a year ago. Cincinnati has won three straight in the last year, right? The end of last season so far this season. And, of course, in between that was the AFC Championship game. So I don't think teams are in fear of the Kansas City Chiefs. Look, if we start comparing teams at the quarterback position, Mahomes is great, but so is Burrow and so is Josh Allen. They all do it differently. Like, I've said this now for the last 2 years, that Burrow plays the quarterback position the most closely to the way Tom Brady plays it. I kind of call him Baby Brady. There's some differences there. Obviously, I don't think he's going to win seven Super Bowls, but, you know, he's off to a pretty good start in just his third year, getting to last year's Super Bowl, but he plays the position in a similar fashion. He's got to clean up a few things, you know, take fewer sacks, take care of the ball a little bit better, but look at what he's done the last 10 weeks, Ian, the last 10 weeks, he's been the best quarterback in football. They started 0-2. Let's not forget he had the appendectomy during training camp. Didn't take a snap in training camp. Came back, had four interceptions and a fumble against Pittsburgh in that overtime loss. Struggled against Dallas. But at about the end of that game, they started to find themselves. They tied it up, lost on a walk-off field goal to the Cowboys. Since then, they're 8-2, and I think he's been the best quarterback in football the last 10 weeks. He's right in the MVP race with Mahomes, with Jalen Hurts, and pick some other player if you want. But those are probably your three leading candidates. But, yeah, I mean, so Cincinnati and Kansas City, when they play, Cincinnati doesn't have to say they that Kansas City has a better quarterback, and neither does Buffalo. Those are the three guys right now in the AFC that, you know, it kind of looks maybe a little bit like Brady, Manning, Roethlisberger, although I'll be honest with you, I think all three of those guys can be better than Roethlisberger. But you get, like, points where, you know, three quarterbacks may dominate the conference. Kind of back, let's go back to the late 90s in baseball, you know, when there was Nomar, Jeter, and Garcia Parra, right, the three great young shortstops. And then you also had Miguel Tejada in there, was the pretty darn good fourth shortstop in the American League. But you can have all those debates. I love Burrow. I like the person as much as I like the quarterback. I think he's just a really interesting, smart kid that I think young kids can look up to, as is Mahomes and Josh Allen. They seem like really good dudes as well. But, yeah,
they're all
good guys.
Exactly.
Yeah. They're not Deshaun Watson, right?
No, I mean,
unless we find something out in a year or two. But, I mean, that would surprise us. But, yeah, I think it's going to be fascinating to see these teams play each other over the next, you know, half a dozen years. But as far as a dynasty, if the Eagles, who have the best record in football right now, if they win the Super Bowl this year, they would have won two of the last six Super Bowls. They're more dynastic than the Chiefs, if that happens.
Yeah, and that's what's so foolish, because, like, and I think that's where a lot of the animosity comes towards, you know, Chiefs. A lot of it's directed towards Chiefs fans who seem persecuted. I mean, people were complaining about officiating. They're the third fewest penalized team in the league, and they think that they get screwed over every single play. And, you know, there's a whole brigade of Chiefs fans who will echo those same sentiments. And, you know, you look across the board and it's like, okay, yeah, they've had a nice run, but look at the last couple of years. It's like, yeah, they ended up having home field in the AFC Championship game, but it's not like they were getting the one seed. You know, the Titans lost. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like I'm not trying to downplay it, but if you're trying to sell me that this is somehow some dynasty based on winning a championship three seasons ago, then I'm just going to say it's foolish. And look, you know, keeping it specific to this season, that's why it's foolish to have said, what, a week or two ago that, you know, clearly this is Patrick Mahomes' MVP, because, well, I don't believe that. Certainly not right now. Yeah, it's like, okay, he may be still in the lead right now, but you already mentioned Joe Burrow could, you know, possibly make some noise here down the stretch, but most importantly, Jalen Hurts. I mean, the guy is leading the team, top best record in the league. He has three fewer total touchdowns than Patrick Mahomes, and about 400 fewer yards. And as we know, John, that gap is much smaller than what it was between the two, number one and number two MVP candidate last year, but that didn't matter. So if you're going to sit here and tell me that Patrick Mahomes is the most valuable player in the league, I'm going to say bull, because it's very clearly a group of these guys that are still fighting for it, and I don't even know if he necessarily has the lead right now. He might have the betting odds lead, but this goes back to a conversation we had at the beginning of the season and how narrative kind of dictates some of these things. Like, narrative's going to probably favor Patrick Mahomes, but I don't know if it should.
Yeah, I mean, you can make the case that Jalen Hurts plays in a tougher division, right? You've got Dallas,
easily.
You've got Washington and the Giants. I mean, all of those teams have winning records. Meanwhile, the Chiefs are leading the AFC West at 9-3. So the next best team in the AFC West is the Chargers at 6-6. Now, Chiefs beat the Chargers twice and close. So those records could have been a lot closer. But you get my point. The NFC East is a better division than the AFC West, although at the beginning of the year we would have been laughed at if we said that. Also, Jalen Hurts just destroyed the Tennessee Titans yesterday. A few weeks ago, the Chiefs needed overtime to beat the Titans. So, I mean, if you're looking at common opponents, I mean, that you can give yourself a popsicle headache with that, because, you know, you can have like 6 degrees of separation of how the hell did this team beat that team when the other team beat the other team. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole league. But, yeah, I think Hurts is right there, absolutely, with Mahomes and Burrow. And, you know, I think Tua kind of hurt his MVP case yesterday. And I've also often said that, Miami's MVP might be Tyreek Hill, you know, because I think he's had such an impact on Tua. But those are the three leading candidates right now. The thing that might hurt Burrow is if you go 11-6, it's kind of tough to win the MVP. Usually the MVP will go to the 1 or 2 seed who's, you know, 13-4 in Philadelphia's case. Who knows, 15-2.
Well, think about this, John. I mean, Kansas City's not even the 1 seed anymore.
No, Buffalo is.
Buffalo's the 1 seed. You have Philadelphia, who is clearly the 1 seed and has a better record than everyone. So, you know, where's the, it's obviously Patrick Mahomes. Well, is it? And you know what's funny? And like I said, it's pretty incredible that, you know, sometimes I say it all the time, perception isn't always reality. But in this case, the perception of short touchdown passes is actually a reality. You know, of his 200 and I want to say, I think it's 200 and some odd touchdown passes, 207 that he has, 23% of them have come within the 3-yard line.
That's about 50 of them, right?
To put it in perspective, I think it's 47, whatever the numbers are. I think I saw it before the game last night, but it worked out to be about 23%. Tom Brady, 17%, Aaron Rodgers, 18%. Again, this is where I kind of push back when people are like, oh, look at this. Patrick Mahomes has thrown X amount of touchdowns more than anyone else. And I'm like, okay, but like, I'm not saying that it counts less, John, but there's context to the conversation. So, you know, you put two and two side by side, and we saw another little 3-yard little shuttle pass touchdown. You put the two of them side to side, and you have, you know, a guy who throws a lot more higher percentage of touchdown passes, short yardage, when maybe you could run it in. Whereas, you know, throughout Brady's career, for example, he's had more rushing touchdowns from, not him personally, but the team has had more rushing touchdowns inside the 5-yard line more than anyone during the same time. Mm-hmm. So, like, you can understand why, talking about raw touchdown numbers in two different eras is a little bit funky, because it's like, okay, well, you're missing a whole lot of context when it comes to it. So to me, I'm looking at it, and I'm like, okay, yeah, look, the touchdown numbers are great. It's impressive. People are sitting here trying to tell me he's on GOAT pace, and I'm just going to say no. Let's again, pump the brakes on that. Pump the brakes on this dynasty talk with the Chiefs, because let's face it, when you look at it, John, we could be looking at this team as someone who a team that really took advantage of a transitioning AFC. Think about it.
Mm-hmm.
They would not be doing what they're doing if this happened to be coinciding with the Patriots, even just from a few years prior. You know what I mean? Like, they kind of mashed up with the Patriots towards the end of the Brady run, and, you know, it is what it is. They lost. Surprise, surprise. A lot of teams lost to the Brady Patriots. But had this, you know, started from, like, 2014 instead of 2018... You know, you're not talking about this type of domination, because likely they're going to run into Tom Brady and the Patriots, and like many teams in the past, fail. So Tom Brady leaves after 2019. The Patriots obviously get knocked out in the divisional round, don't even face the Chiefs in 2019. And that's kind of it for that competition that year. And then the next, they win the Super Bowl in 2019, get to 2020. We talked about it before. You played Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns. Good job. You know, like, awesome, impressive, great. What happens if they start going up against a team like Buffalo and Cincinnati every year? And I know they beat Buffalo last year, but, again, 13
seconds. Well, they beat them in 2020 as well in the AFC Championship game. But Buffalo wasn't quite now.
That's what
they were a lot more confident.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, yeah.
2019 and 2020 was the most, I guess, transitional part of the AFC, because, again, you don't have that dominant franchise anymore. You don't have the greatest quarterback of all time. You had a watered-down conference where Josh Allen was still learning to be Josh Allen. Joe Burrow hadn't arrived yet. Miami didn't have Tua. Lamar Jackson was around, but, I mean, again, the Ravens, they're a very good team, sure, they can be, but, you know, are they the the stoppers in the way. And then Tennessee was basically the biggest competition these last couple of years. And, you know, this is a conversation we also had, and I want to go back a little bit away, you know, a little ways, because we talk about this kind of with Buffalo, but with Kansas City as well, is that their best opportunity to win a second Super Bowl in this run was in 2020. And they just so happened to have to go up against Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. And I maintain that because after that, it's like, well, Joe Burrow's here. Josh Allen is here. I mean, Miami, their record, they're a little bit ahead of their development. Maybe they get a little bit better next year, but they're going to be around. I mean, who knows what's going to happen with the Patriots moving forward. I still think there's something there with them. I'm not going to count on it, but you go across the board and you're looking at a lot of really good teams, and all of a sudden, this cakewalk to a Super Bowl that all Chiefs fans assume it's going to happen isn't going to happen. And I had to point out yet again that they didn't win the AFC last year. So just getting to the Final Four is nice, but you know, let's bump the brakes a little bit.
Let's look at the Patriots, right? From 2005 through 2013, they were still the best team in football. They did win a Super Bowl during that nine-year stretch. They went to the playoffs every year except 2008 when Brady was out for the entire season. They only went to two Super Bowls in a nine-year period, and they were phenomenal. Yeah. So, like, getting to the Super Bowl is not easy. Brady's made it look easy because he's gone to 10 of them, which is twice more than Roger Staubach or John Elway went to. And when those guys were playing, they were the best quarterback. They were awesome. They look like all-time greats, and they are all-time greats, except that Brady has doubled them in terms of Super Bowl appearances, which is kind of crazy. But, yeah, so my point being that in that nine-year stretch, the Patriots were still the best team in football, but they didn't win a championship and only went to two Super Bowls, right? It's not like they – and we think they underachieved because, you know, the previous 4 years they won three Super Bowls, and then after that they won 3 in 5 years. I mean, it's just incredible the run they had. But that middle gap there – you know, they were still the best team in football in that nine-year period, just that they, you know, weren't able to win a Super Bowl. Heck, the Giants won two during that stretch. So I guess you could make a case that either they or Pittsburgh were the two best teams because they each won two Super Bowls. But you get my point that, you know, getting to the Super Bowl is not easy. It's a one-and-done, right? I mean, you have a bad day. I mean, Patrick Mahomes can show up in the AFC Championship game this year in Buffalo and has a bad game, and the Bills are on their way to the Super Bowl. Or, you know, you may be looking at Cincinnati-Kansas City in the divisional round, with the winner going up to Buffalo to play in the AFC Championship game. That's a pretty tough road, right? It's similar to, you know, Brady, Manning, and Roethlisberger. They kind of beat up on each other, so there wasn't a guy going to the Super Bowl every single year.
And that's something that didn't exist 2 years ago.
Right.
From 2019 to 2020, which, coincidence or not, the 2 years that the Chiefs obviously got through and made it to the Super Bowl. I mean, let's not forget, it wasn't that long ago that they were down, 24-0 to the Texans? And by God, Bill O'Brien. I'm having PTSD right now because of my past emotional outburst with Bill O'Brien. I mean, they gave that game away with some stupid attempt to go for it on a fake punt deep in their own zone. And it just opened up the door. You know, so there's... And again, that's the thing. It's like, we talk about, oh, they're dominant this, dominant that. There's been, you know, there's been a lot of examples of very poor playoff play. And sometimes you win and sometimes you don't. And more often than not, it's not going to always work out in your favor. So, you know, what's going to happen with this Chiefs team? They're obviously going to be competitive. I don't think this is the end of the world, no doubt about it. It's just, I think you got to look at it. And again, look at it as we see it, not projecting, not anticipating, oh, they're on pace to do this, or they're doing this, and this, that, and the other. No, let's talk about what they have done, and what other teams have done, because other teams are right there knocking on the door. And other teams, and we mentioned it, the Bills and the Bengals, have quarterbacks that are on the same level as Patrick Mahomes. Like, again, this idea, and a lot of people have been just really just stuck in 2018, John. It's really what it is. This is what it comes down to. He had an unbelievable first season in the NFL. Really, you know, again, just caught everyone by surprise. No doubt about it. Deserved the MVP. But people just assume that that is what has happened every game, every year since then, and it hasn't. And if anything, that was maybe the outlier, so to speak, because you know, we talk about, oh, he averages this many yards, this, that, and the other. Well, a lot, you know, they lead the league in yards after the catch, and good for him. That's not saying anything bad. I'm not trying to downplay it, but, you know, to ignore the context, and that's my biggest problem, John. It's like, don't sit here and tell me that he is so much better than everyone else. And then when I bring up that, well, he's done these things, but these other quarterbacks have done that, and then you say, oh, that's blah, 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 blah. No, look, he's great. No doubt about it. He may end up being the best of the young quarterbacks, but I'm done with the GOAT pace. I'm done with the dynasty, silly dynasty talk with the Chiefs. Like, talk to me when they've actually accomplished these things and stop, you know, giving them credit for things that they haven't accomplished. Like, again, I saw someone today bring up Dee Ford, and I'm like, well, if Dee Ford wasn't offsides, well, then you have to go to a Super Bowl and play a team that you did not even beat that season. So how do you, like, hand yourself a Super Bowl without actually playing the Super Bowl? You know what I mean? It's just...
Right,
In for a rude awakening if they think it's just going to be a trot to the Super Bowl every single season, because it's just not.
Red Sox fans had this to say almost 20 years ago. Man, that's how long ago it was. But, you know, when they lost to the Yankees in the 2003 ALCS, they're like, oh, that cost us a World Series. Well, the Yankees went on and lost to the then Florida Marlins.
Yeah.
How do you know the Red Sox are going to beat the Florida Marlins? Like, you
exactly.
know, you don't know those things because Florida's pitching staff was electric that year. I mean, it really was. It was.
I will say.
This is sports, right? I mean, this is what happened.
I will say this. The Patriots would have beaten the Bears if they went to Super Bowl.
I feel really confident. Yeah, I feel pretty good about that one. I do.
I felt pretty good, you know, pretty confident saying, but, you know, that's, again, there's no guarantee in that. And in the case of the Rams and the Chiefs, there's an example from that season of the Rams beating the Chiefs. So, like, again, I don't understand how they just assume that that was a lost Super Bowl in that moment. And at the end of the day, don't be offside. Okay. Don't commit penalties.
Yep,
you know what I mean? Stop blaming others for your problems. And, you know, that's something that I think some Chiefs fans are going to be in for a rude awakening.
We can go back to 2019. Just remember the last game of that season, the Patriots, as a 17-point favorites, were upset by the Miami Dolphins. Remember the reaction of the Chiefs that day when they found out that score? They were just, like, celebrating because now they moved up to the number 2 seed behind Baltimore. They got the bye and never had to play the Patriots in the playoffs.
Yep.
If the Patriots had beaten Miami like they should have, the Patriots would have been the 2 seed, and somehow Kansas City would have been in Foxborough in the divisional round, and who knows what could have happened then. I mean, the Patriots were kind of wavering at that point. Kansas City got hot late in the season, so, you know, maybe Kansas City comes in here and wins, but who the hell knows? You know, so so much can change because, as we've said this a million times, there are no dominant teams out there.
No.
You know, yes, Philadelphia's 11-1, and they look really good, but, you know, are you going to be shocked if they lose in the divisional round to, I don't know, Dallas or San Francisco or whoever they play? Probably not. I mean, there's no...
Well, I'd be shocked if they lost to Dallas, because Dallas hasn't won playoff games that much in the last 30 years.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, you know, although they have so much talent, in spite of themselves, they should be able to do something right. I mean, how do you put 33 points on the board in the fourth quarter? I think that was physically possible, but you brought up that point about the Patriots putting up 35. I think that was in the second quarter of that game.
And for as much as people claim that, like, Brady's that, like, he would often be taken out late in the games, and not necessarily taking out physically, but we've seen them many times just, like, ease up on the offense. Like, they could have, like, I look back and, like, people will sit there and say, like, oh, Brady's touchdown rate is 5.6 and Mahomes is 6.8. And I'm like, oh, my God, I don't freaking care. Like, that doesn't mean anything to me because, one, you're talking about two different eras of football where, obviously, Mahomes is in a far more pass-happy league, whereas Brady obviously has split his career amongst the two. But, again, it goes back to, well... Sure, over the course of his career, I've seen many more short yard rushing touchdowns on behalf of the Patriots than I have with the Chiefs. And it's like, you know, people talk about that Rams Super Bowl all the time. It's like, well, Brady sucked because Rob Gronkowski fell down at the 1 yard line on that pass. And Tom didn't throw a touchdown, quote unquote. And it's like, what? No, it's about context. And it's like, over a long course of the career, you can compare the two. Right now, it's foolish. And right now, anointing, again, some kid, the greatest of all time, when we don't even know if he's the best of these young players. I mean, he may be better right now, but who's to say that Josh Allen over the next 5 years just isn't more dominant? I mean, that's the thing, and this is what I'd like to point out to everyone that likes to think that, you know, Mahomes has owned the league for 4.5 years. That's kind of the talking point that came out a couple years ago. He hasn't even been statistically the best quarterback in the league the last few years. They will use 5 years because, again, it's heavily aided by that 2018 season, but 2019, 2020, 2021, none of those seasons was he individually the best quarterback in the league. So how can you dominate if that's not the case?
Right. Yeah. I mean, look, some people started to put LeBron as the GOAT in basketball, but I didn't go there till they won the bubble championship. And I hate calling it the bubble championship. It's a championship. Yeah. I everybody was playing in the same arenas. I think it was a difficult championship because you're away from your family for 3 months. It's just kind of a weird setting, and they cope with it. They coped with it much better than, say, the Clippers or some other team that did. So, but when he won his fourth, I said, and I can put him over Jordan. And, you know, I detailed that in one of the columns we had on the site. But you can't put a guy in the same conversation, you know, in his fifth year when the other guy has played for 20 years.
He's still playing.
I mean, come on. I've said this. This is my favorite stat of the year. Brady has 7 Super Bowl championships. The rest of the quarterbacks in the NFL that are still playing have combined for 6, and that includes Joe Flacco, who's backing up Mike White.
Yeah.
And Russell Wilson, who apparently can't complete a pass, and Aaron Rodgers, who, you know, because they won yesterday, will play next week. And good for him. And again, Rodgers gets asked a lot, and he'll play. He'll play through these injuries. And when you mentioned about padding stats, Rodgers had 6 touchdown passes against the Chicago Bears in 2014 in the first half, and didn't throw the ball again in the third quarter and sat out most of the third and fourth quarter. Like, he could have easily thrown for 10 that night, because it is Chicago. Apparently he still owns them and all of that stuff. But, you know, it's a big rivalry. But, yeah, so he could have piled on probably another 4 touchdowns, but he was at that. They can all catch stats as much as they want, but he's got to beat Joe Burrow before we start talking about him beating Tom Brady. I mean, Joe Burrow's 3-0 against him, and twice, Ian, double-digit leads. And Patrick Mahomes in the comeback, but twice he lost double-digit leads to Joe Burrow, once in the AFC Championship game, and yesterday had a 7-point lead in the fourth quarter, and he lost it. So maybe Burrow's the comeback king.
Yeah, and like, don't forget the late interception against Buffalo. I mean, bad performance in the AFC Championship game last year. You had that first one in 2018 where they went silent for a half and had to scramble to get their way back in, but yet people want to blame Dee Ford. Go to the Super Bowl against the Bucks. He was bad.
9 points. Yeah.
9 points. Like, you can't tell me that running around like a chicken with your head cut off is the greatest quarterback play, even though people were trying to say that. It's like, you have to look at the reality of the situation. Like, there is plenty of, there's going to be opportunities for him to forge his legacy. There's no doubt about it. Like, I mean, who knows? Maybe he goes off and wins 10 Super Bowls in a row. We don't know. We just don't know the future. But to assume any sort of great success like that, it's foolish. Because what's happening is people are now speaking like it's already happened, you know?
Right.
Like, it's not just, oh, he could do this, which is all well and good, but people, use it like, well, look at this. He's clearly off to the greatest start ever. It's like, well, no. I mean, right now, as far as I'm concerned, he's Kurt Warner. If his career ends, you know, tomorrow, then he's Kurt Warner, which is great. But that was the same type of start that Kurt Warner had, and Kurt Warner had 2 MVPs. So maybe Mahomes gets his second one this time, but even if he does, like I said, he's on pace with Kurt Warner, which is great. There's no doubt about it. But to sit here and just ignore just so much history in the game just to propel this kid to levels that he's just not at right now is kind of foolish. So, but
are people confusing the best in the game right now with greatest of all time? I mean, are they that stupid that they're confusing those two?
No, I think...
Okay, I hope you're right. I mean, because I think... You can make a case, he's the best quarterback in football right now. And, you know, whether it's Burrow, I mean, the two old guys are still there. On any given Sunday, Brady and Rodgers is a question. Everything that they can do. Maybe they just can't, 3 straight weeks or don't have enough around them and they're injured or whatever. They're kind of, let's put them to the side. But yeah, I mean, you make a case he's the best quarterback in football. That's fine. But like, let's call him the greatest. You know, like, I think maybe Giannis is the best player in basketball right now.
Yep.
You know, and Tatum and Jokic and Doncic are right there. No one's coming out and saying Giannis is the greatest player of all time at this point. I mean, he's sensational. He actually is Patrick Mahomes of basketball. He's sensational. Won a championship. He won two MVPs. But no one in their right mind is going, yeah, he's surpassed Jordan and LeBron already.
The thing.
He's the best player ever.
What people are doing, though, is like they're making the – oh, he does, you know, the classic, oh, Mahomes does everything that Tom Brady does, but Tom Brady can only do, like, 20%. You know, that type of foolish argument where it's like, okay.
And right,
And this is where they get into that greatest of all time debate, because now they're like, well, he's the greatest I've ever seen play. Well, because you've been watching since 2018. I get it. I understand. But, you know, it's just a misguided argument. And again, I think we see it more and more every week and just how quickly things change week to week in this league. And it's like, you can't anticipate this success. Like, you can't like give credit in situations that you just haven't done it yet. And the problem is like, that's becoming the norm when it comes to having these discussions about who's the greatest, who's this, who's that, and, you know, wanting to completely ignore a lot of the history. And then on top of that, context, because every time I see, again, a tweet about, you know, Patrick Mahomes' first 70 games versus Peyton Manning or Tom Brady's first 70, I'm like, I can't do it anymore, because people are like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, well, let me point out again that, you know, this is a big difference in era when it comes to starting and when each player started. So, but the problem is like, people don't want that. They want to react. They want to, you know, the knee jerk reaction. And like I said, I mean, it's going to be a tough pill to swallow when perhaps Kansas City doesn't make it to the AFC Championship game. And maybe they'll realize it's not that easy.
Right. No. So. No, it really isn't. I mean, we just got used to it here. I mean, seeing one team go to they went 8 straight seasons to the AFC Championship game. That's like, I don't think Kansas City's going to have to go to 4 more AFC Championship games in a row to equal that. Like, along the way, you know, again, off day by Mahomes and you're playing Cincinnati and Joe Burrow's better than you that day. You're not even into the AFC Championship game. Buffalo's hosting Cincinnati.
And off days by Mahomes in the playoffs seem to happen, I don't want to say regularly, but a little bit more often than people will admit.
Yeah. Oh, God, I mean, he has bad halves, too. I've maintained, and look, I love Mahomes. I'm not, you know, badgering here. He's played 8 quarters in the Super Bowl. He's had 7 bad quarters.
Yeah.
He had one great quarter in the fourth quarter against San Francisco, and we know Kyle Shanahan, you know, isn't exactly Mariano Rivera as far as closing games. You know, so I think that had a lot to do with him as much as it had to do with Kansas City, but give them credit on that. But again, look at what he did in the second half against Cincinnati last year in the AFC Championship game. And again, the first half against the Patriots in 18. So, he's sensational. Love watching him play. He's great. I like the guy. But he's not in another class from these other great young quarterbacks who, you know, again, they just do things differently. They all have a different skill set.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate them all and see how it comes out when they face each other. But right now, Burrow 3-0 against Mahomes. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I'd say so. So, all right, we're going to wrap it up here. Obviously, Buccaneers and Saints on tonight. I mean, look, everything is there for the Buccaneers to forget the first 11 games of the season and just move forward, because San Francisco without Jimmy G, who knows what's going to happen with them. Minnesota, we've talked about them. They may be the most prime one-and-done team. Because, like, I think they're really good. I just don't – I'm not going to put a whole lot of stock in them in the playoffs. And, look, Philadelphia is Philadelphia, and they're great and all, but I would never rule out, a Tom Brady-led team against Philadelphia. Sure. And so I'm sitting here thinking, like, oh, my God, please – please, I'm begging the coaching staff of the Buccaneers to realize what works and realize, look, you have an opportunity here. Doesn't matter what your record is. You're going to get into the playoffs, but you better figure out how the hell you're going to win some games, because you could potentially go on a run here given the current state of the NFC and how even more open it is right now, because you're looking at a conference that, you know, might be too little too late for the Packers. The Rams are out of it. I don't see Minnesota and the Eagles are look like right now, obviously, the healthy and the top two teams. I mean, again, I'll wait and see what happens with San Francisco. Obviously, they won big over Miami yesterday, and that was very impressive. But am I going to bank on a Purdy, you know, running them to the Super Bowl and dominating? I don't know. So we'll see next week because, well, or in a couple weeks when the Bucs and 49ers face off. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to play out. I mean, again, I'm hoping that they pull it together. They should beat the Saints, John. They should beat the Saints, but
they should.
I've said that like five times this year, and I've been wrong every single time. So,
Saints didn't even score last week. But if Tampa wins tonight and they beat Atlanta the next time they play them, that should be enough to win the division. That would give them seven wins. I mean, because Atlanta keeps losing, Carolina. You know, they've been competitive in some games, and the Saints, if they lose tonight, really fall far behind Tampa. So, yeah, Tampa's going to be the four seed. You can just see that. So the five seed, which will be – it could be Dallas.
Yeah.
I mean, you could – poor Dallas. I mean, they could be 12-5, 13-4, you know, maybe the most complete team in the NFC. And for that, they get rewarded with a trip to Tampa and Tom Brady. Now, obviously, Dallas is a better team than Tampa, but – when that guy's under center and it's the playoffs, I wouldn't want to be betting against him.
Yeah, and again, maybe I'm just having a little, you know, some blinders on here, but it's like the talent is there. I just think they're being held in Tampa. They're just being held back right now. And, you know, obviously they haven't played perfect. You know, drops have once again been an issue, but, you know, the Bucs were bottom of the league, or, you know, whatever, however you want to call it, bottom of the league, last in the league, or 27th, 28th in the league in drops the last couple of years. I mean, they drop a lot of passes, and this has been a problem the last handful of seasons. They need to clean that up. They need to obviously execute better, but the reality of it is I think they're being held back from their coaching philosophy, and I think if they can kind of overcome that a little bit, they might look like a team that might quote unquote turn on a switch type of thing as they get into the playoffs, but we'll have to see. But all right, that's going to do it for us here today. We will be back tomorrow to kind of, you know, react to hopefully, like I said, hopefully a Buccaneers win. Cause I don't know if I can handle another loss like that against a team that they should very much handle at home or on the road. It doesn't even matter at home. Yeah. They should win this game at home. So, that's going to do it. So give us a follow on Twitter at FPC Radio Live. And of course, head over to fullpresscoverage.com to check out all the latest and greatest content coming from over there. So thank you, everyone, and we will talk to you tomorrow.